5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
What would you say you do here? What would you say you do here? That iconic, very famous scene from Office Space where the Bobs are calling people in and just trying to get a handle on what it is that's really going on here. And here we are, essentially the Bobs are having that same discussion with lots of people within the government. And there's a lot going on here. This is some parts fascinating, some parts sad, some parts depressing. And for me, my perspective on it is I find it to be pretty confusing. I find it to be pretty confusing because you have people who are so upset about what is really a pretty minimal request of accountability and oversight. And that makes me sort of scratch my head and say, well, what's really going on here? And there's so much going on here. And I wanted to dig into it. But fundamentally, I think it's just that people are, anybody that's offended by this, I don't know that they're offended by the request more so than it's just that they don't like the people that are making the request. And I get that. And is it Elon Musk? Is it Donald Trump? Is it tech bros? What is it that is offensive? Is it all of the above? Or would it be anybody making that request would immediately become the bad guy / gal and F them, us versus them, in-group versus out-group kind of a thing? And it was when Elon Musk bought Twitter and went into Twitter. It was, what is the term? Delicious? It was somewhat delicious to watch the reaction of what I perceive to be a lot of entitled, spoiled brats getting their privileges taken away. And in that example, the privilege of working at this shiny tech company with all these perks while doing very little. Now, that's very different from what we're doing with the government, isn't it? Or is it in a lot of ways pretty similar? I just read that the average salary for a government employee is over $120,000 a year, and the average salary for a private sector employee was like 68 or something like that. So there's something going on there for sure. But I perceive this massive disconnect. So on one side, you've got people who are highly offended or bothered by the request to respond to an email. The email simply said, tell me 5 things you accomplished last week. Okay, very well. On the other, you have people offended and bothered by the people who are being offended and bothered by the same request. So I think fundamentally it's this. If you work for the government, if you are a government employee, your compensation is coming from my tax dollars. And based on that, you are not immune from a request like this. You are not immune from accountability. Now, my heart goes out because, and this is tricky, because that's obviously been absent for a while, if it was ever present at all. And when I say absent, I mean accountability, oversight, checking your work, managing you, having some kind of an employee-employer relationship, making sure that you're actually doing the job that you were hired to do. And that just begs so many different questions also, doesn't it? So if you were doing what it is you've been doing, and now all of a sudden you're asked to do something different, I could see where that's frustrating. I don't like to be told what to do at all, which is why I don't work for the government, which is why I'm not an employee of an organization. Okay? You work for the government. You are an employee of the federal government. You are responsible for, somebody asks you what you got done, for explaining why, what it is that you got done. If you didn't get anything done, you need to be able to explain why it is you didn't get anything done. I think this is about the most obvious thing in the world, and it sounds really stupid coming out of my mouth. But that you get feathers ruffled, that doesn't mean that it's not okay to do that. In fact, that's the whole point of the exercise, that the current state of affairs is entirely backwards, and the process of correcting it is going to be uncomfortable. Not everybody's going to make it. And that's kind of the point too, if not the absolute point. We can take a giant step back and talk about what the role of the federal government is. And I think that that is extremely beneficial and worthwhile, and not something I'm going to do right now. But have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought, okay, what is the role of the government? And then you start going one by one through all these different agencies. And that's the conversation that we're having right now. Is this needed? Is it necessary? Is it viable? And it's maybe not a binary answer, but we need to have the conversation, and we need to look at each role, because each role costs a significant amount of money. And we do not have a limitless supply of money, regardless of the way that our government may act from time to time over the past 20 years or so, give or take. So I have a, and I mean, anytime you deal with people and you're in a basic human system, I've been talking a lot about and thinking a lot about this, not in the context of the federal government and DOGE and all everything that's going on, but it's all very germane. It's all very related. If you've ever done anything with other people, you know that it's really challenging, because not all people are the same. In fact, everybody is very, very, very different. And there's a continuum of how committed slash ambitious slash interested slash hardworking people are. On one end, there's extremely driven, hardworking, smart, intelligent people. And on the other end are extremely not hardworking, low IQ, low intelligence, low work ethic kind of people. And then there's lots of people all across that spectrum, all across that continuum. You know this because you went to school with people. You know this because you did homework assignments. You do this because maybe you work in an organization where you're on teams of different people. The way that they do things, everybody does things, is different. The way that we show up is different. And in a lot of ways, that's a good thing. But in some ways, it's not a good thing. And we have accountability measures, and we check, and we manage people, and we help them to either select into a situation or select out of a situation. And when that's not present, that's when things go sideways. That's when waste happens. That's when fraud happens. That's when just it just doesn't work. So I had the wonderful experience of being in a fraternity during college. In a lot of ways, my college experience was a form of drinking camp with girls mixed in, and it was super awesome and super fun. And I got to play tennis and got to go to parties. But I also obviously went to school and I got a great education. And I got the opportunity to be part of this fraternity, which offers a lot of unique things as well beyond simply the social aspects of it. And that's 100% there. So if you've had a Greek life experience, fraternity or sorority, maybe you know what I'm talking about. But like anything else, there are great fraternities and crappy fraternities and great sororities and crappy sororities. There's great Greek systems and lousy Greek systems. And like everything else in life, you will get out what you put into it. My fraternity experience was extremely, extremely beneficial.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Particularly as I get more space from it. Looking back at the opportunity to run an organization that had a budget, and you had the opportunity and the necessity to recruit new members, to train new members, to manage new members, to do philanthropic work, to throw parties, to be able to experience conflict and resolve that conflict, to be able to work through problems, to make plans, to interface with grown-ups and younger adults and older adults and all these things. So it was very valuable. I learned an immense amount. Getting your ideas across, being listened to, when you're not being listened to, what you can do, and all of these things. Accepting leadership and responsibility and conducting yourself in a way. So there's so many different positive things. And in a lot of ways, it's just like what I've been talking about. It's a human system. One of the things I learned, or rather, one of the things that in going through the new member orientation process, they go through all these what are called literary exercises, little thought exercises. And one of them, and I've talked about this on the show before, was called Let George Do It. And just kind of serendipitous that it was called that. But I want to read it to you. It's not that long. And I think it's very germane to what we're talking about. My name is George. I'm an all-around handyman, and I'd like you to feel free to use my service for any and all chores, errands, duties, which you may be too busy to perform. Anytime there's anything that needs doing and you'd rather not, you just let George do it. I'll write to your congressman for you. I'll write your newspaper editor. I'll serve on the chapter committee in your place. I'll do anything you're too tired to do or too preoccupied to do. With me around, you can be as lazy as you like or just have fun. The more the merrier, I always say. My services are available to you for all the tedious, time-consuming things which you'd rather duck doing. You haven't time to do your pledge assignments? Let George do it. You haven't time for a service project? I have. You don't want to accept commitment or committee assignments and extra responsibilities? You let old George tend to those things. Maybe I'm not as famous as Castro, but if you hadn't But if it hadn't been for me, you'd never have heard of him. And that goes for Stalin and Hitler and Mao Zedong, too. I love those guys. The big-time racketeers in the United States, you name them. Without me, those guys would be nothing. Why do I want to run errands for you? When I'm the guy who runs all these big wheels, why do I want to run errands for you? You don't see? I get a kick out of electing presidents and student bodies and school boards. I'm all these things you used to do before you took up chasing dollars and not being concerned over your organizations or your responsibilities. Don't feel like you're imposing. I'm glad to be of service. Helping you, I'm really helping myself. How do you think I was able to take over and run a third of the world already? Because nobody else wanted to bother. They say, let George do it. So I did it. Now I'm taking over in lots of cities and counties, and I figure it's just a matter of time until I take over in this chapter too. I want to thank you for making it possible. Remember now, if there's ever any way in which I can be of help, I'm at your service. You just have fun and don't worry about a thing. I'll do your worrying too. I'll bill you later. It's apathy. Apathy is the killer of organizations. Organizations big and small. It's the killer of your family unit. It's the killer of your neighborhood. It's the killer of your community. It's the killer of your alumni association. It's the killer of your company. And it is the killer of the federal government and the United States of America, potentially. Too much? Too extreme? I don't think so. Apathy is a lack of interest, enthusiasm, or motivation. It's not caring about things that normally might matter, like work, relationships, goals. Somebody who's apathetic might feel emotionally numb or indifferent, as if nothing really matters. It could be temporary, like feeling unmotivated, or it could be a sign of something deeper, like burnout or depression. Apathy can and will kill any organization by slowly draining its energy, creativity, and effectiveness. How does it happen? Well, low productivity, when employees stop caring, they do the bare minimum. Work slows down, mistakes increase, deadlines are missed. They make poor decisions. If leaders and employees lack motivation, they may ignore problems or avoid making necessary decisions. This leads to stagnation and decline. No innovation, certainly. Apathy kills creativity. When nobody's excited or engaged, no ideas happen. The organization falls behind competitors. A toxic culture emerges. If nobody cares, morale drops. This creates a negative work environment where disengagement spreads like a virus. It's not just a lack of engagement, it's actual disengagement. Turnover happens, not in the government, but you're not going to attract in talented, highly motivated people because the best employees leave and those who remain are just the ones that are going through the motions, the toxic ones. And then customer neglect happens, which is the citizens of the United States in terms of the federal government, because we're the customers. So apathy leads to poor customer service and a lack of responsiveness to customer needs. Ever been to the DMV? This damages reputations and drives customers away. You can't adapt. An organization constantly needs to be evolving to survive. Name me an organization that can just let rest on its laurels and still be okay. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. We look at so many major institutions in the United States that have fallen victim to apathy. It's pretty easy. So ultimately, apathy creates slow decline. It's slow death. The organization doesn't collapse overnight. It just gradually fades into irrelevance. Do you agree? Do you believe me? Have you seen it? Do you know it to be true? Because it is true. Doesn't that just sum up so many of the problems that we're facing? And it really sounds like so many of the problems at the federal government, at the bureaucracy, that somebody would be so offended. Tell me five things you accomplished last week that you got done last week. Oh, what? How can I be expected to do that? That's crazy. This is something I know a good amount about. Not being apathetic, but witnessing apathy. I mentioned the Greek life thing. But I think that I think that accountability is never a problem for people who are getting things done. I did a lot of things last week, which I did. I'd have an easy time rattling them off. Sit down, pounding on my keyboard for a minute, hitting send, and I'm off doing the things I'm supposed to be doing. Empathy, or rather, certainly, accountability is not a problem for people working hard, for people who are doing their best. It's a big problem and a big inconvenience for people who are not doing those things and would like to continue not doing those things. How dare you ask me to tell you what I'm doing or not doing for that matter? So when I hear that it's there's so many different problems, I'm guessing it's probably a selection problem, meaning you hired the wrong person. Meaning also that, so it was a problem, a bad selection decision by the organization, but also a poor selection decision by the individual. If you go into an environment where you're not going to be successful, it's not going to work out. It's not going to work out for you. It's not going to work out for the organization. It's going to be an unhappy thing. And that's the value of accountability. So
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I spent a good chunk of time recruiting, developing, and managing people interested in either making a career as a financial advisor or moving. And I was attempting to recruit existing financial advisors over to my firm. And so selection is critical. And it's really critical for people who are considering coming into the profession. Because it's an entrepreneurial endeavor. It's hard to get started. There's a lot of technical knowledge, which is necessary. So you have to, there's a lot of attributes that somebody has to have in order to be successful. And if you have those, that's a great thing. But if you don't have those, it's not a bad thing. It just means that this is not a good fit for you. And without accountability, and in this example, it's accountability from your behaviors, from your activities. If you don't do the things that is proven to say, if you do these things, this is the result you're going to get. If you don't do those for a couple of weeks in a row, we're going to have a really serious conversation because it seems as though we made a poor decision. I made a poor decision because it seems like you don't have the desire or the ability to do the things that we tell you you need to do. And you made a decision, a poor one, because you obviously aren't happy doing these things either because you're not doing them. And I believe that true love is holding people accountable because it doesn't do anybody any good to languish in a career, a job, a situation where they're not going to be happy and successful. It's bad for them. It's bad for their family. And on my side, it was bad for me and my organization. So all of that is dependent on whether or not, well, let me take a step back. Number one is you have to have a culture of accountability to get there. So some work that I'm doing right now is because I no longer am in that role, it's been a number of years, but I still consult to financial firms, helping them to create cultures of success, of high performance. And when you have that, it's a lot easier to attract top performers in. When you have an existing culture of mediocrity, of low performance, it's toxic. There's apathy, and it's difficult to attract top performers into that environment. So the challenge becomes, how do we change our existing culture and turn it into one of success, one of excellence, one of performance? And that's what we're witnessing in real time right now, is how, and is it even possible to right this ship? Is it really possible to do with the federal government what Elon Musk did with Twitter, now X, where they had thousands of employees, thousands and thousands, and he cut the employment the employee population by like 80% or something like that. Massive cuts. And everybody said, oh, there's no way the company's going to go out of business. Well, fast forward to where we are today. It's the number one social media app. It's the most downloaded app. It's thriving. There's just no two ways about it. So is it possible to do that with the government? I don't know. But that's what we're striving for. And do you think that would be a good thing or a bad thing? I think it would be a good thing. Why wouldn't you want any organization, particularly the federal government, one that is funded by our tax dollars, to be one of excellence, to be a high-performing organization, to attract top talent, not just people who are interested in collecting a paycheck? And I'm not saying that everybody within the government is interested in that, but clearly there are plenty of people who are simply interested in doing that. Or there's plenty of people who maybe aren't even working. They don't even see the email because they don't check their email. They're just collecting a paycheck. And that's certainly a problem too. And if you don't think that that's a problem, I have a problem with that. I'm confused by that. And so make a plea, it would be to not try to see past if Donald Trump and Elon Musk and anybody else in the new administration offend you, to try to see past the individual and to see the work that they're trying to accomplish and the change that they're trying to catalyze. Because I think that's immensely valuable. And if successful, it'll make our country better. It'll make our financial, it'll make us just more valuable or viable moving forward. We certainly can't be, we can't tolerate apathy. We can't tolerate mediocrity. If we want to continue innovating, if we want to continue to be a force for good in the world, we're going to need to make improvements. We're going to need to make changes. We're going to need to shift culture. And that's not an easy thing to do. But Elon Musk has a history of doing it. So why not give the guy a shot? And nobody wants, I don't think that there's a single person out there who doesn't want a robust, highly functioning federal government. I know that's what I want. I want a highly functioning, powerful, effective federal government. I want the most at-risk people in our population in the United States to be taken care of. I want their mental health to be taken care of. I don't want them to be without food. I don't want them to be without shelter. I want all of their needs to be met. Full stop. That's what I want. And I know that there's a lot of good people within the government who are working really hard in order to facilitate that, in order to make it happen. And I'm interested in having them continue to do that. But the path that we're on is just not sustainable. It's not even close to being sustainable. I've been talking about the federal debt for a long time, since 2018. Long time. So it's music to my ears and eyes. It's music to my eyes to be seeing what's going on. And do I wish that it could be more delicate? Maybe, but not really. I also appreciate that there's an appetite for this kind of thing right now. So you have to strike when the iron's hot. Just need to do the work, rip off the Band-Aid. It's the only way that it's going to get done. So would love to hear what you think about this, what you think about apathy, and what you think about accountability. I think that those are essential to the remedy to apathy, I do believe, is accountability. And that's the exercise we're going through. So as Elon is trying to do this with our government, I want you to do it with you and your life as I do it for me and in my life. Do your part by doing your best.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. When you fly Emirates on business, you can relax from the start. You get a complimentary chauffeur-driven transfer from your door to the airport. Then when you land, your chauffeur will be ready to take you wherever you want to go. It's exclusive for Emirates first and business class travelers. And with world-class service in the Emirates lounge and exceptional comfort on board, it's just a better way to do business. Book now on Emirates.com.
Therapy is too expensive. Used to be the end of the conversation. But what if it didn't have to be? With Grow Therapy, care is designed to be affordable, insurance-friendly, and easy to understand. Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.